what you want, just dial in toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. This is SACL CAI toll-free line tonight. It's Ian with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We give you the features. They're free. Those other talk show hosts want to charge you for their sites. We give ours away, freetalklive.com. Last hour, for those of you just joining us, we were talking about, we started out by talking about bad cops, and there's just an awful story out of Chicago about some folks that that were just regular people having dinner out when they were assaulted and then beaten severely by some undercover cops who were eating in the same restaurant, and they didn't like the fact they were inconvenienced for 20 seconds while one of them put their coat on at the cash register. So they proceeded to beat the hell out of those people. So then we changed over to StopTheDrugWar.org and a story by John Calvin Jones, professor of law from the American University in Bosnia-Herzegovina, about some rules for dealing with the police. And he's telling a story about Brian McGackin, who was allegedly having sex with his girlfriend at a very loud volume levels. Someone made a call to the police reporting this. The police showed up, and McGackin made quite a few mistakes that ended up costing him his freedom because these police kidnapped him for growing marijuana in his home. Now, whether or not you're growing marijuana or whether or not you're a marijuana smoker or some other sort of drug user, or maybe you just have a gun laying out on your counter or something like that. There are always things that can be
out-of-date prescriptions.
There's one for you. Sure, there are always things that can be in your home.
Pictures of your child during bath time.
That too. Child porn. So you never know what it is these police are going to find to arrest you for, but you can guarantee that if you let them in your home, that they are going to be looking for them. They're going to be looking for a reason to put you in handcuffs and take you down and put you in a cage. And so take a listen to these rules here by John Calvin Jones, because they're very, very valuable. Now, I think if you can avoid it, you probably shouldn't even open the door and talk to the police. But as Brad Jardis pointed out, a former law enforcement officer, even if the cops get a phone call anonymously alleging something about screams coming from a home, that gives them enough reason to come inside. So maybe it would benefit you to try to talk them out of it. It's crazy.
You have to wait. It may benefit you if you can manage to dissuade them, but if they...
But if they really want to come in...
If they really wanted to come in, they're going to come in one way or the other, and at least this way they have to commit to kicking a door in.
That's true.
I agree with you. They may be convinced that, well, maybe this wasn't the residence or somebody's not here or whatever. It may be.
That's true. And if you're talking to them, then they have the reason they could say, well, we believed he was lying, so they could go in. If you don't say anything, then they can't make a claim about that. If you don't answer the door and don't say anything... Then you're right, Mark. They have to kick the door in or bust the door in somehow, and they have to justify it based on the fact that all they had was an anonymous complaint.
Right, because if you go out and speak to them and say, no, you can't come inside, then they have this, the ego thing says, oh, yeah, I can come inside,
yeah.
And then they get whatever reason it is that they feel like they need to. When they're just knocking on a door and no one's coming, they're not dealing, it's not an ego thing. They're not dealing with their emotions in that situation. Now, if they believe you to be in there, like you go to the window, look at them, and then turn around and walk away, I think you've ticked off the emotional thing again and the ego thing, and that's a whole different story.
You have convinced me back to my position of not answering the door for the police, which is what Barry Cooper recommends. But either way, it's a tricky situation.
It's a tricky situation. Okay.
You're dealing with men who can do what they want.
Brad didn't recommend opening the door.
No.
He just said it was tricky. It's
right.
Scary.
And if you're dealing with a man that does that with armed men that will do that know they can pretty much get away with whatever they want, then it's a tricky situation. So rule number two, rule number one is that you do not answer do not invite the police inside. I say don't even answer the door, don't even talk to them. But if you must talk to them, don't invite the police inside. Number two, try to speak to the police as little as possible. Always better to be asking questions than to be answering questions. He who asks the questions is in control of the conversation.
But don't be so excited to ask questions to the police and confront the police that you walk outside and talk to them. I mean, I think that the best place, the best way to avoid a blow is to not be where it is.
That's a good point. Number three. Rule number three is always ask the police, am I free to leave? Of course, if you're in your own home. If they say no, but you're still in your house, you can tell them to leave. but they are still in your house. You can tell them to leave, that you don't consent to their presence or search. Get the phone, tell them you're calling your lawyer, and leave a message on your own voicemail if you don't have a lawyer's number. That just, you know, makes it clear to them that you know your rights. Say something to the effect of, the police are my house apartment without a warrant and no probable cause, and they are not invited. I've asked them to leave. I don't consent to any search, etc. Needless to say, McGacken didn't follow rules 2 or 3 either. But according to the court opinion, McGacken admitted he went upstairs to get his identification and was followed by New Jersey State Trooper Thomas Holmes. According to the opinion, Trooper Holmes testified that he followed the defendant upstairs for 2 reasons. One, to protect his own and fellow trooper's safety, and to make sure there was no other person in the home in need of aid. But did he really? Earlier in the opinion, the judges wrote that Trooper Holmes and the fellow trooper responded to the 911 call. Once on the scene, they heard and saw nothing unusual from outside the residence. They knocked on the door and announced that they were with the state police. Within a reasonable time, the defendant opened the door dressed only in a bathrobe. Otherwise, defendant's demeanor and conduct were normal, and he was completely cooperative. When told about the report of screaming, defendant invited the troopers to step inside and explained that the screaming came during loud sex with his girlfriend. The troopers asked to talk to the girlfriend. She came from upstairs wearing only a towel and confirmed defendant's explanation. So, if the 2 occupants of the house said that they are the only 2 in the house and the officers believe them, then there's no reason to make sure there's no one else is in the house in need of aid. Further, if the police accept the explanation for the screaming and the police are ready to end a routine follow-up to an unnecessary 911 call, then there's no reason to suspect that Trooper Holmes or his fellow trooper would be at risk from the sex screamers. But if the police thought that McGacken was lying or acting suspicious, then there might be cause to keep an eye on McGacken. But according to the ruling, that's not what the police thought. The ruling said that no evidence suggested that the police had any suspicion of criminal activity by the defendant or his girlfriend, or that they wished to conduct a search for evidence of a crime. Trooper Holmes testified that nothing that the defendant and his girlfriend said or did downstairs raised suspicion of criminal activity. The police and the court admit that Trooper Holmes lied when he testified there was no suspicion of criminal behavior. He could not have believed the report of the 2 lovers, but still had cause to look around to see if someone were in need of assistance. And thus, because he didn't believe their explanation, Holmes implied that the 2 were hindering or obstructing an investigation, an arrestable offense. But as the court recognizes that Holmes declared that he had no suspicions, that means Holmes believed that no one else was in the house. Therefore, there was no need to go upstairs in the name of what the court references as an exigent circumstance.
But they always do that, though. They, you know, if you let them in the house, they're going to follow you everywhere you go. Yeah. That's what they're trained to do.
Of the sort where the police...
The reason he did it wasn't because he was in fear for his safety. It was because that's what he's trained to do.
That's what they do.
And, you know, as a police officer who is, you know, walking into people's houses that they shouldn't be walking into... Of course you feel a certain level of danger. It's a dangerous job.
Absolutely. You don't know what's around the next corner. Of the sort where the police may enter a house without a warrant as so as to preserve life or prevent serious injury. Again, because Trooper Holmes testified that he had no suspicions that McGacken and his girlfriend were lying, he had no basis to justify a warrantless intrusion. But that's not how the appeals court ruled. The New Jersey judges referred over and over to the idea of this type of warrantless search as necessary to save lives and not search for evidence of a crime. So what did Trooper Holmes do and see when reaching the upstairs bedroom with McGacken? First, the court says that Holmes smelled marijuana. What happened next, for this trooper, who is not searching for evidence of a crime but merely responding to a perceived exigency to save a life? According to the court, upstairs, Trooper Holmes saw a defendant use his foot to push a tray under the couch. Holmes asked defendant what was on the tray, and defendant soon admitted that the tray contained marijuana. In defendant's bedroom, the trooper saw in plain view a number of growing marijuana plants, as well as bagged and loose marijuana. He placed the defendant under arrest. Thus, 2 New Jersey appellate court judges decided to abandon all pretense of reason. Without comment, they claimed that Holmes had to go upstairs to find someone to rescue, although he didn't suspect that anyone was in need of aid. McGacken's misadventure leads us to yet another rule. Rule number 4. When police ask you something, do not answer. Police are not your friends. They use drug arrests, the easy pickings, to gain fame and fortune. All states and the federal government have seizure laws that allow law enforcement to take cars, houses, bank accounts, and boats on the mere suspicion that you are engaged in drug-related criminal activity.
And let's not forget what a hero you look like to your police chief when you manage to get a situation where they can confiscate cars and boats and houses in order to...
to the budget.
Yeah, to add to the bottom line of the police department.
You can even be acquitted and have your charges dropped, but the cops get to keep your stuff.
Yes, they do.
A few more rules coming up here. 800-259-9231. What not to do when dealing with the police at your house. This is Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves.
Getting a mortgage without a down payment or just refinancing your home can be tough right now. But if you've served in the U.S. Armed Forces, Reserves, or National Guard, it doesn't have to be. I'm Tim Lewis of iFreedom Direct. After serving in Operation Iraqi Freedom, I now help other vets get their financial needs met. Our team of professionals understands the special benefits under the law for veterans. We have over 20 years of VA home mortgage experience, including refis to VA loans at lower rates.
On your feet!
If you're a veteran in need of a mortgage or interested in a refi for cash out or lower payments, call 888-900-VA-LOAN now or go online to varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com or call 800-900-VA-LOAN, varadio.com.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow for the rest of your life.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want by dialing in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, including our Shrine of Female listeners. with dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their validated photo or video showing they are indeed listeners of the program. You can go to shrine.freetalklive.com, whether or not you're a lady listener, and see it for yourself. That's shrine.freetalklive.com.
The Institute for Humane Studies Summer Seminar Program is now accepting applications. There are 11 different seminars in major cities across the country. The IHS provides meals and housing once you are at the seminar. The deadline for registration is March the 31st. Go to libertarianseminars.com. You must be an undergraduate, graduate, recent graduate, graduate student or recent graduate. Libertarianseminars.com.
All right, 800-259-9231. We're talking about a story here from StopTheDrugWar.org. They've got a new video out called 10 Rules for Dealing with the Police. We are not sharing those 10 rules. These are different rules that are also by Stop the Drug War, and they're by a guy named John Calvin Jones, professor of law from the American University in Bosnia and Herzegovina. He's talking about a situation with a guy, Brian McGackin, who had the police called on him for a noise complaint. He was having sex too loud. He let the cops into his home, which was a big mistake. Then he went upstairs to get his ID, and they followed him, which, again, this is not, none of this is required that he did. He should have just either not answered the door at all, or at the very least talked through the door to the police, or if you feel you must be close to them, leave the house, close the door behind you. But I agree with you, Mark. Talking through the door would be the most sensible thing to do because it doesn't allow them the opportunity to put their foot in the door, to try to push their way into your home. And, of course, not even talking to the police in the first place is the best option, in my opinion, because then they have absolutely nothing that they can build a case with or try to arrest you on. But nonetheless, we're going through some of these rules that he's suggesting, this law attorney. Rule number 4 is that when the police ask you something, do not answer. The police are not your friends. They use drug arrests to gain fame and fortune, and of course they can take your house and car and boat, etc. And even if you win the case, in that they don't win their case, because whenever you're up against the bureaucrats, you always lose. Keep that in mind. Whenever they come after you, you're going to at the very least lose your free time. So there's no real winning with bureaucrats. But nonetheless, he says, getting back to rule number 4, and anything related to a search of your person, house, car, or stuff, note that what the court didn't report that the trooper did after seeing McGackin move the pot tray underneath his bed. The police officer didn't go over and grab the tray. Even though the court said that Holmes was within his right to make a warrantless search, given the exigent circumstance of trying to save someone in imminent harm and not intending to seize evidence or make an arrest, Holmes didn't even try. Because the tray was not in plain view, it was hidden under the couch, and Holmes didn't have the probable cause to search without a warrant, the cop relied on the tried-and-true method to collect evidence and make an arrest.
Asking questions.
A confession.
Yep.
That leads to rule number 5. Never consent to a search. Because the tray
was... Even if he's just caught you, you still don't consent.
Right. Even if he's standing in the room with you, even if you feel like, all the cops are here now, they can do whatever they want, you can still try to prevent them from doing so.
What's
by letting them
tray?
Know you don't consent.
None, yeah.
None of your business. Now, there's clearly nobody in here that's in trouble. Let's get out. Of course, presuming you made the mistake of letting them in the first place.
Well, he was going to get his ID. It wasn't even about actually.
Yeah.
The cop wasn't actually searching for that. He was just following the guy.
Because the tray wasn't, that's why you're not supposed to answer their questions. Holmes didn't have probable cause. Just call the lawyer. Holmes was careful to say that in no way did he look under the couch to see what was on the tray. However, Holmes testified and the court explained that the seized marijuana plants were in plain view, meaning not in a closed space drawer, etc. Even Holmes knows rule number 6. If it's in plain view, it belongs to the police, not you. This exercise in legal sophistry and hypocrisy is not to advocate that anyone should violate state or federal laws, although I would advocate that. Because bad laws deserve to be broken, especially drug laws. Instead, it should serve to emphasize that every person should know the limits, guidelines, and rules on constitutional provisions about search and seizure. Even in those states that allow licensed grow operations, the Obama administration is still making busts. If you want to stay out of prison.
By the way, these constitutional limits, don't expect them to stick around.
No.
As the drug war progresses, and it really only started in my lifetime with Nixon, it was upgraded by Reagan. It was then upgraded again by Clinton. And I'm sure, the Bush administration, the Obama administration will have done their fair shares. But you know, it's a relatively new thing. And as it progresses, the judges will be convinced more and more mm-hmm. that, oh, well, that's okay, and that's okay. Sure, they can take a dog into your car, but they can't take a dog into your car if you didn't do this. Or, you know, they always, yep. there's a little tweak and a little tweak that gives the cops more and more ability. The cops lose nothing if they push the limits of constitutionality. Oh, well, gosh, a pot smoker got away. Well, I guess there won't be any more of them. We must have gotten all the pot smokers. No, they lose nothing if they try to push the limits of constitutionality. They don't lose their jobs if they break these rules. Oh, well, you're not allowed to go. You're not allowed to look under the couch.
It's up to you. It's up to you to make the stand. The Constitution is just a piece of paper, and they know it. And they know they can get away with pretty much anything. But if they're up against somebody who appears to know their rights, if they're up against somebody who is telling them that they don't consent to a search, or better yet, not even talking to them in the first place, because the more you open your mouth, the more likely you're going to end up getting handcuffs placed on you, the better. So regardless of what the Supreme Court decides, going up against people who are willing to stand up for themselves is what will put a slowdown on the police state. If everybody just bends over and does whatever the cops want to, well, you might as well just hand over all your money and your possessions and belongings, because that's what it'll come down to. They'll just take them from you when they want to. So people just have to learn to stand up for themselves. Let's continue here. We're done with the story. StopTheDrugWar.org. They've got a great weekly newsletter that goes out. You should get signed up for it. We go to Stephen, listening in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, can you hear me?
You're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
All right, great. I've spent the last probably seven of the last 12 months in an Arab Muslim country. And if you listen to right-wing talk radio, Michael Savage, for example, or if you read blog posts, or if you get in a chat room, or if you get an internet forum, it's clear to me that we, Americans, are supposed to hate Islam, that it's not a war against religion, but it really is a war against a religion, you know, this whole war on terror thing. And I report to you that these Muslims that I was working with, which were from India, Pakistan, Kuwait, and Egypt, were the very most peaceful people I have ever been around in my entire life. And that is not an exaggeration. It's not, you know, anything like that. I'm being absolutely literal. So I just want to throw that out there.
That's what this is all about. You know, when you're talking about guys like Michael Savage, you're talking about xenophobes, people that, you know, he harps on language, culture, and borders to the nth degree. He's right. Talking to people largely that have never left the United States. If they
did have no intention of leaving.
If they did leave the United States, they left on a tour ship or rode around in a tour bus, which, hey, that's a little United States bubble floating around in some other country. You didn't actually leave the United States. If you drank Coca-Cola and ate hamburgers while you were in Italy, you didn't leave the United States.
Stephen, if you've got more you want to share about your experiences, you're welcome to hang on 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage. Fact. Cirrhosis of the liver is the eighth leading cause of death among Americans. Fact. Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver. Fact. 1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease. Fact. Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. Don't wait to protect your liver. Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Remain in your houses. The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
Dial in toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features, they're free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Features including our wiki with over 2,000 pages created by listeners like you. It's like the listener editable version of our website. Head on over to wiki.freetalklive.com, and you can get interactive there. It's free, of course. School Sucks podcast. You need to know more about it. The public school system sucks off the productive capacity of hardworking people. And whether public education succeeds or fails, spoiler alert, it fails at providing real education to the public, the cost goes up and up year after year. There are no refunds. Oh, yeah, and it also destroys individualism and curiosity. School Sucks Podcast is a show about the end of government education. Visit SchoolSucksProject.com to learn more. That's SchoolSucksProject.com.
You know, I was at – we were at the Liberty Forum over the weekend, and there was a – at the Alternatives Expo, which is just sort of an extra portion of the Liberty Forum, there was a seminar given by some unschoolers on unschooling. And unschooling is this kind of subset of homeschooling. It's not the same, but it's, you know, it's a subset. And essentially, it's child-directed learning is the way they described it.
Yep.
And so when the kid's ready to learn whatever, then, you know, that's when they're ready, and they'll do whatever. Now,
when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
I guess. I found it, you know, like I might have some difficulty just sort of letting Jack learn to read on his own. But in fact, I was sitting in front of a bunch of parents, one of which was Dr. David Friedman, okay? He was one of these unschoolers, and he was talking about how he did that with his kids, who I think are, you know, certainly well-educated at this point. And they were talking about kids that learned to read at 2 versus kids that learned to read at 11. And they just kind of they figured it out on their own at different times. And, you know, you just compare that to the public school and whether it succeeds or fails. I was listening to that the commercial you say. And how could the public school fail at teaching kids to read? I mean, you know, children naturally want to learn things like this, and they don't, and they just can't pull it off. Well, what happens? Somehow or another, they kill off the desire to learn. And in fact, the number was 20% in some areas as high as 40% of students graduate public school functionally illiterate. It's sad.
We go back to Stephen in Florida. Stephen, you were talking about how you've been interacting recently with some Muslim folk, and this was over in another country. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. And one thing, I'm glad you helped me over, because there's one thing that I wanted to add, and that is when I engage with Americans on, you know, Facebook or internet forums or chat rooms or whatever, because I'm an internet geek, and this. You know, on the internet, of course, there's this anonymity thing going on. So people really get to speak their minds, you know, things that they just wouldn't say in polite company. They'll blab about on the internet. And so this is where you get to learn the true feelings of people. And I have encountered not just one or two, but many, probably a dozen or more people, Americans, who don't believe me that I was alone. I was the only Westerner. That's the other thing, too, I need to make sure that you understand. I was the only Westerner about 100 miles away from the nearest city on an oil rig with about 70 different Arab and Pakistani Muslims. And they,
you mean they didn't try to kill you in a jihad?
I figured they'd kill and eat you.
I have encountered at least a dozen, probably closer to two dozen Americans online who don't believe me. They think I'm lying because they think that it is impossible that a Westerner could be out in an isolated area with 70 or 80 Muslims and emerge from it unscathed.
Now, Stephen, we know that maybe what you're saying is true. You were actually on the oil rig with 70 Muslims. And, you know, clearly these subhumans understand, you know, a real white guy when they see one. But they fought amongst each other like wild animals, didn't they?
Stephen?
I mean, they were so peaceful. I mean, it was, that's the only thing I can think to say is they were so peaceful. They were hardworking people. They don't have the same sort of, it's not that they don't have a good work ethic, but they don't have the same standards of quality of work that we have. But I mean, I guess when you're living in a lot of these people, you know, the most high tech thing they'd seen prior to coming on the oil rig was like a fence.
By the way, Julia is joining us here for the remainder of the show. Good evening, Julia.
Oh, good. I like Julia. Hello, Julia.
So Stephen, I just out of curiosity, were there any incidents of violence? Well, I mean, you put 70 guys together on an oil rig for weeks on end. You'd think there'd be somebody would be brawling with somebody else. Did that happen at all?
I heard that there was some sort of a fight between an Indian Muslim guy and a Pakistani Muslim guy,
and it never actually
came to blows, and at the end of it, they hugged. Now, if you want to compare that, I was on an oil rig in the United States, and there was literally about a fight a month, and I'm talking a fist fight a month.
Sure.
So, it's no exaggeration. It is the literal truth that these are the very most peaceful people I've ever been around in my entire life.
Great. I appreciate you calling in to share that story. That's all I've ever
all
heard.
Right.
And of course, in any group of people, you're going to deal with, there's some hotheads. I mean, that's going to be the case. But the idea that people from other countries are somehow more or less likely to be dangerous is ludicrous.
The only way that you're going to get humans, to really go after other humans and kill them, if you can somehow
demonize.
Yeah, you've got to demonize the other team.
Make them less than human.
Yeah, that's the only way it's going to work. And that's the goal of these demagogues that go out there that say, these people are bad, and I don't care whether it's this decade, whether after the illegal aliens and the Muslim people, or whether they're after, the Muslim extremists. You know, whether
Islamofascists.
Because I don't know how you're going to find a Muslim extremist. Because this is an entirely different war. In the you know, in World War II, you knew the bad guys by the uniforms they wore, and you know what country they were from. It doesn't work that way with this war. This war essentially is using the military as a police organization, and that doesn't work. It's like using a cleaver to do the job of an X-Acto knife.
We continue here with your phone calls at 800-259-9231. Frank is in New York. Frank, you're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And a lady. There's a lady.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just
she just came in.
Got in. Thank you. I want to also say good evening to the lady. And I just got back from the Whitney Biennial, which is the every 2 years it's a survey of art in America, and the last two exhibits have included art from around the world. And all I can say is this. I expected more intellectual work from the younger artists whose work is media-driven. I expected in the bad art economy...
Wait. When you say media-driven, what do you mean?
Lots of video, film, secondary, appropriated imaging, you know, sort of combined with other elements. So you have this sort of hodgepodge in a sense.
So you're saying there's more video art, more like
video,
digital art
film,
than there is...
photography, the whole bit.
So you're saying there's
sound.
More digital artwork than there is oil paintings? Is that what you're saying?
There were a couple, but for the most part, they were terribly bad. They were done to be just like tacky, kitschy. And what's interesting, you would assume now...
Kids these days,
with the, you know... economy the way it is, and the wars in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq, and the corruption, you know, with Washington and, you know, the social network falling apart. You would expect some more radicalized original visions, but quite the opposite is the case. The art was very conservative, and most of the work was done by other artists over the last 50 years, so there was really nothing new or original. But there were some very good rock and roll bands in the basement of the museum tonight performing, so that was kind of fun.
So. Well, thank you, Frank. Appreciate hearing from you. The Frank's Review of the Art World. Appreciate that. 800-259-9231.
Art reflects what's going on, and I have some concerns with what Frank said.
1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. We'll have to get you some finger paint, Mark. You can make your own. There's more coming up here.
You are rude. I can't believe I work with you.
800.
Somebody save me.
259-9231.
Real talk show.
In the late 21st century, the hardiest, most daring adventurers have begun to colonize the solar system, where untold mineral riches await them. Jealous of their wealth and fearful of their freedom, the government of Earth is determined to extend their power to this new frontier by any means necessary. Escape from Terra, an illustrated science fiction saga from Big Head Press. Read it online at escapefromterra.com.
Is it safe to breathe anymore? Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder. What if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no rebound congestion, contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family survival plan. Go to GCNlive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNlive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh. It works.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new, and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. Sickle CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. And tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Julia.
And Mark. Join us online at freetalklive.com. Now, all the features on the site are free, so if you enjoy this program and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can become an amplifier. For as little as $3 a month, we'll take that money in, reinvest it into the show, get on more radio stations around the country, and bring more internet listeners on board as well, exposing new people to the ideas of freedom. So head on over. You get perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, AMP-only forum, the AMP-only podcast, all over there at amp.freetalklive.com. Now, Frank in New York had called in a few moments ago to bemoan the state of art in America. Today, creative artwork, that kind of thing. He was saying that he went to some sort of show, which...
He said the word Whitney involved in it.
Whitney, yeah. Well, anyway, he was very disappointed. And so aside from with what he saw of the young people's artwork, so aside from it being from what he was basically saying, kind of ringing as, okay, older guy doesn't get the younger generation's art, what's new? And that's kind of my first response.
You know what actually came to mind to me? I'm not involved in the art community. There are certain kinds of digital art I can appreciate, photography, that sort of thing. So I'm not, and even paintings and stuff. So I do have a soft spot for some paintings that I like, but I don't really know that much about art. However,
me neither.
What first came to mind for me when I think modern art, I tend to think I don't like it. And I pictured a long time ago, your mom sent a Christmas card and it had a picture of your parents and your sister. And she was at her art graduation and her art project, which she went to school for. And when I think about modern artists, this is exactly the kind of person I think about. It looked like she sprayed some great stuff that like foam insulation like on the wall for a while and it hardened and became this sculpture sort of thing, but yeah. It was just the stupidest, most uncreative thing ever, and this was your sister's final project. And that's what I think of when I think of what Frank was talking about in modern art, and if that's sort of what we're talking about, I think it sucks too.
The very, very best of new art I tend to like, and this is kind of like the way I am with rap music and country music too. The very, very top end of it I like, but the rest of modern art looks like somebody took a public garbage can, spray painted and swatted it with a baseball bat a few times. You know, it just doesn't look like anything but garbage to me.
I I've just known so many of these people, these young
the
people, yeah, like who dreamed to go to art school, and they always say the same cliche things like, I can't, if I'm not surrounded by art, I can't be inspired. And that's what I think of when I think of this modern art culture, and the stuff they do just tends to suck. It just doesn't grab me. It doesn't seem to be as creative.
And the other end of it is that the ones that, you know, they go to art school and they realize, holy crap, I can't make a living doing this. You know, they thought they were going to, I remember.
Because if you go to college, you're guaranteed a really good paying job, right?
This happened to me once.
No matter what the major.
I was putting together a business with a friend. And
you don't want to hire somebody to spray great stuff all over the wall?
What does your sister do now? She's like going back to school,
going back to school to be a chef.
Because
I needed a guy to make a little logo, you know, just a little character for a website that we were making. And, you know, he drew a couple of things, just kind of sketched some stuff out. It wasn't ready for prime time by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, I said, so how much do you want for it? And he's like, I don't know. You tell me. And I said, how about $100? And he said, $100?
I was insulted.
He was absolutely floored by how little I offered him. This was probably going to be his first paid gig ever as an artist, and I offered him $100 for drawing a little character on a piece of paper, and he was just absolutely flabbergasted.
Just an 8x10? I'm sorry, an 8.5x11?
My God, dude, it wasn't. I needed a couple of inches. I mean,
and
really,
how long
literally.
Did it take him to draw it?
But he hadn't completed. We hadn't really finished, and I didn't even know what I needed. I just needed a character sort of drawn up, and my friend was going to put it online or whatever. The guy was absolutely flabbergasted, and we never honestly spoke again after that.
It sort of reminds me, there's this bagel shop in town.
I was
going to
ask you about that.
And they feature like a local artist every month or whatever. And there was this one artist who, gosh, I swear I could do this. There were these very basic, like in bright paint, she would draw like a bird, and it was done by like three circles, one for a body, one for a head, a beak, and then there was like some spots, and all of them had this similar style, but they were very simple. I'm terrible at painting and drawing and that kind of thing, and I could have done it.
Looked like
I
the work
swear.
Of a fifth grader.
Right. It was very, like, silly. And she claimed, you know, like, this is my niche abstract. This is my style. And it, I mean, anybody, a fifth grader could have done this. And they were like, the big one was like $1,000 and the little ones were like $200 and not one sold. And there's a reason. Who would pay that?
Right. I support anybody doing their art. Please do your art, whatever it is. And, you know, slap a price tag.
Pour your heart onto the canvas.
Yeah. slap a price tag on it. Go and market yourself to businesses like this coffee shop, this bagel shop. And, you know, get your art displayed for people to see. And then, you know, you'll see whether or not it sells. You know, some
if it
artists,
doesn't sell, lower your damn price.
Well, I mean, at some point or another, it's not worth doing anymore. Because if you're selling, if you're spending 2 weeks doing a piece of art that you sell for $200,
that's true.
You need to go to work at McDonald's.
That's a good point. So on one hand, it could be, you know, older guy that just doesn't appreciate the younger people's artwork, or maybe dumbing down is a factor. Maybe that art is really getting worse over time, or maybe it's not. Maybe there have always been just awful, throw crap up against the wall kind of artwork that doesn't seem to take a lot of talent or a lot of time.
I tend to trust Frank in this area. I mean, he just sounds like a guy that no one knows his art when he sees it. I tend to trust him in this area, but I would agree that they don't.
But he's
call,
twice the age
they don't
of
call
these people.
Art shows, yeah. Art shows anymore. They call them installations, and these installations will be a video. And in a lot of cases, it's not just the art; it's the experience of viewing the art.
That actually reminds me, my ex boyfriend, when I was like 17, my high school sweetheart or whatever, he went to an art school, and he was one of these people that just, you know, had to be inspired by going to art college, and he's like depressed about life because he can't afford it, basically. But I had to go to this installation. I didn't even really know what that meant, but I guess it was just to put arch on show.
Yes, they're installing
art
on the wall.
All it was like a bunch of murals in a one room, like a closet or something in the school that they had like put up, and I think they played like the White Rabbit, that song, and it was supposed to be like an Alice in Wonderland thing, and they put a rabbit in there, and really all it was like some crappy acrylic paints on a, you know, a big piece of paper in this room, and it wasn't anything, but they called it an installation, and it was like a really big deal, and I remember being there and being like, what's going on? Why are people paying to see this?
Well, were they paying to see it?
Yeah.
Well, the reason they were paying to see it is because their kid.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, I had some art in a county fair. Now, well, I didn't have to pay. I guess you paid to get into the county fair, but you know, you didn't have to pay to walk into the art fair portion, and we did get to ride the Gravitron. So
awesome!
Right, the Gravitron better than the art show.
I was on a Gravitron once when a kid got a bloody nose.
Did he fall?
No, it's just the blood went all over the seat, that's all.
I got on the Gravitron sort of sideways where the slider thing and actually slipped and fell and hit my face on the AstroTurf on the ground. So I got a bloody face on the AstroTurf. And it might have been the same one, I'm not certain. But
I'm sorry, those are great memories. I love the Gravitron. Go ahead with
I cared about
my favorite
art.
Fair ride. Yeah, I'm not one of those fair people that really gets into the fair rides, but I do love the Gravitron.
I cared about art at that time, so I tend to, you know, I walked around and stuff like that. I got some ribbons. They weren't first place. I don't really remember. That's about it.
So, but is art really getting worse over the years, or is Frank just getting older? And what do you think? Are you somebody that's paid attention? 1-800-259-9231. Because I'm not.
I'm not either.
You know, I've seen some stuff, and you know, I've got my reactions to it. And
all right, I've got a painting on my wall that I paid $1,000 for.
Lord.
So I'm actually an art consumer. I don't think you've even seen it, Ian. I don't imagine you've paid attention if you have wandered around my house. And
you don't have a big house.
We have several original pieces of art at our house.
Where'd you get it?
In Sarasota,
you went to an installation.
I wouldn't have called it an installation. This was a
like a storefront kind of.
Yeah, it was a storefront. I can't remember what they call those off the top of my head.
Is that a bad way to buy art? Do the artists look down on buying art from a storefront, or is that okay?
I think that's just fine.
It's fine. Okay.
I mean, it wasn't a storefront. It was a storefront that, you know, that had art. It wasn't a studio. I can't remember the right term. It's not coming to my mind at this time. But this was a place that professionally sold art.
1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. So
right now, I wish I could get my grand back, though. It's kind of like my tattoo. I had to have it at the time, but...
Is it getting worse over time? Really, is Frank right, and is modern art worse today than modern art was 20 years ago, than modern art was 20 years before that? Or is it just that Frank can't appreciate the new modern art? 1-800-259-9231. Are people really being dumbed down in the world of artwork? It's a possibility. I mean, the government schools are dumbing people down in other ways. Hour number three is on the way. You can bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Morsels. There are a million reasons to bake with Toll House. Find yours at verybestbaking.com. A balanced diet is important, but so is the occasional treat. Working with your kids to bake a dessert from scratch helps them to appreciate it even more, and it keeps them from resenting having to eat their veggies every other day. Plus, baking is a perfect excuse to spend time with your kids, since just being together is a treat. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.